This is Jay Sekulow. The Supreme Court deals a blow to the House and its apparent second impeachment attempt.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, every day there is breaking news on so many levels. Today, the Supreme Court actually did this last night, grants a request from the president through the Department of Justice Solicitor General to block disclosure of Robert Mueller's underlying grand jury material. Now, there's a lot of constitutional reasons why that would be blocked, including executive privilege, including agreements that were made between the special counsel and the White House as documents. Tens of thousands of documents were sent back and forth. Remember, there was a lot of documents that were transferred. The court just said that they're going to grant the emergency request from the administration. The Court of Appeals had gone against the president, and that the materials will be kept in that redacted or secret status right now. And when I say secret, grand jury proceeding material usually is kept that way. Now, Nancy Pelosi said that the House had the right to see this. I'm reading this quote, to seek grand jury information, which was requested by the Judiciary Committee. And then she says, quote, the Justice Department's continued delay is part of a pattern of administration hiding the truth from the public. But then you've got to understand this. She then goes on to say, okay, now I'm going to read it. This is what's coming out of the Hill, the Judiciary Committee. Delaying the release would seriously endanger the committee's ability to, ready for this, folks, to complete its impeachment investigation during the current Congress. Now, Andy, we just handled the impeachment event during the current Congress. We literally finished it up 3.5 months ago.
That's right. I mean, we sat in the Senate for 3 weeks, Jay. The impeachment went through the House of Representatives channels. It was carried over ceremoniously to the Senate. The Senate heard evidence day after day, night after night, literally into the night, and voted that the president should not be convicted of the crimes charged. The Chief Justice, as presiding officer, discharged him, ended the impeachment. I thought it was over. Are we now back for a second impeachment? How many times are we going to try to derail and defrock this president from the duly elected position to which he was put by the people?
Well, apparently they consider doing that now, or they think they are. And Than, you had a good phrase for this just moments ago. What'd you say?
Well, the buzzword on the Hill, Jay, is ongoing. This investigation into impeaching the president of the United States is going to be ongoing. We've heard that from Chairman Schiff. We've heard it from Chairman Nadler. We've heard it from Speaker Pelosi. And, Jay, I would tell you there is just an obsession with continuing this investigation. I would tell you probably as long as the president is in office. But I would also give you one motive, Jay. I think there's one very compelling motive for why they have to continue doing this. It's to keep the attention off of those who cooked up this scheme. People like James Comey, people like Adam Schiff, who coordinated with the whistleblower people, even Jay, like President Obama and Vice President Biden. If you keep the impeachment narrative going and you keep the investigation quote unquote ongoing, maybe there will be less attention on those figures.
Yes, but in the brief filed with the Supreme Court, just so you understand what we're dealing with, in the brief filed with the Supreme Court of the United States, the committee said it is still needed. And it is needed because the impeachment probe is ongoing. It told the court that it had procedures in place to protect confidentiality. I have an answer for this. Nonsense. Political nonsense that they're again dragging the courts in. And of course, once they utilize the courts, we have an obligation here, the Department of Justice did, to defend the presidency. It's not just the president. It's the office of the president as well. We're going to take your calls on all of this and your reactions. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are already getting busy. 1-800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you again, if you are enjoying this broadcast, if you appreciate the work we're doing, third segment, we're going to take a little deviation from this topic today and for a few minutes talk about a life issue that we've got going now. Looks like it's going to be a major case. We'll talk about that, but we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110, aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, everybody. Perpetual impeachment's what Mitch McConnell, we just played that during the break. I want to get that sound, if we've got it available, Will. I want to play what Mitch McConnell said about this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, an emergency stay was taken to the Supreme Court of the United States by the Department of Justice on the issue of disclosure of secret grand jury materials. Now, the district court and the Court of Appeals said, no, the House has the right to get that information. We find that highly unusual since there's supposed to be, Andy, grand jury secrecy.
That's right. There's a rule, 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, and it says anything that was obtained through grand jury subpoena or that was obtained through evidence produced by oral testimony before the grand jury is secret and is not to be disclosed, and certainly not to be disclosed to re-attack a president who has been acquitted, tried first and then acquitted of these offenses. How long are you going to keep trying to dig up dirt on a man who has been acquitted by a significant margin in the Senate vote with testimony from a grand jury that you don't have the right under the rules to see?
You know, it's interesting. The Justice Department argued in its brief, and I think this is correct, that disclosure of grand jury material would bring, quote, irreparable harm. That's the standard when you need to get a stay. For the grand jury process to work, secrecy must be assured for witnesses to come forward and testify fully. And then it says the department said in its court papers, it also said the Judiciary Committee hasn't shown that the material was urgently needed for a hypothetical second impeachment. A hypothetical second impeachment. There is no way they're going to be able to institute then impeachment proceedings between now and November.
Yeah, no way, but they're sure going to try. They're going to try to say that it's ongoing, Jay. And actually, I think that's one of the biggest fallacies of this argument before the Supreme Court that the House Judiciary Committee is making. Because remember, even though ceremoniously this proceeding was taken away from Chairman Nadler and the Judiciary Committee and given to Adam Schiff, technically speaking, the House Judiciary Committee still did forward the articles of impeachment to the floor of the House for a vote. So, Jay, they had their shot at this. I mean, there were all sorts of transcripts, all sorts of interviews inside the House Intelligence Appropriations Committee. And when that report was sent over to the House Judiciary Committee, that would have been when there would have been an opportunity for them to continue their investigation. But Andy said it right. Not only did we have a special counsel, we had full impeachment proceedings, as you well know, Jay. I mean, it went through the House, went to the Senate, you handled it over there. And now just months before the election, the House Judiciary Committee wants to pretend as if that's ongoing. Nope, that's case closed. There's a verdict in already.
Yeah, I know, because Andy and I and a whole group of us spent 3 weeks litigating, trying that case in the United States Senate. So it tells you the nature of what this is. I want your reaction to this and to this now continued talk, continued approach to having impeachment proceedings. This idea that we can have perpetual, ongoing impeachment proceedings, which is not what the founders envisioned, by the way. It was supposed to be specific articles of impeachment. They had the entire Mueller investigation. They had, my goodness, they had Bob Mueller. There he was, testifying in July of last year. And then they brought one other witness, if you'll remember, forward, and that was Corey Lewandowski. And that was a disaster for them, as was Robert Mueller. So what do they do? What's the comeback? Well, we'll talk about impeachment again, because we're getting right up to an election, and now literally up to an election. And we're going to tell the Supreme Court of the United States that if you don't give us material that is confidential in a grand jury proceeding, we somehow cannot function and do our job. Basically, that's what they're saying. I want everybody to understand that. That is what they are saying here. And Andy, you have done many grand jury proceedings. And this is just not the way. If they knew, if a grand jury proceeding knew that this information was going to go public, the grand jury system would not work.
No, I mean, I can't tell you how many grand juries I've handled as an assistant United States attorney and as an assistant district attorney. Just concluded one that I handled for 3 days down in South Georgia, in which we were looking at a corrupt police department. And it was just known under the rules that what we got was secret and it was not to be disclosed. And that's to protect the guilty as well as the innocent, so that people who did not have any role in what the grand jury was investigating were not splattered with information that shouldn't have been out there. And that the grand jurors could hear this in secret and deliberate in secret. This is the key thing to grand jury investigations. The grand jury is an investigatory and accusatory body that operates in secrecy so that the protected are both the innocent and those who ultimately are found to be guilty. But that it works in privacy. It does not work in the public domain.
You know, frankly, I think what Andy just said is exactly the truth. It's a truth from the practice of law. It's a truth from the way the system's supposed to work. But then you got to get behind what's going on here. What is the real motive of what's going on? And I think part of this motive is there were some really bad actors, and those being bad actors are about to be brought out into public as to what they did, or at least proceedings will go forward as to what they did. And I suspect that we know that during the impeachment, this was so the irony of all of this is that during the impeachment proceeding, the president's approval ratings were, I think, at its all-time highest then.
Well, yeah, I mean, when the truth comes out and there was no there, I think that would be the natural recourse is that the approval ratings would go up. I think there's really two things at play here, Jay, and we've said for a long time there's an obsession with continuing this investigation. I think this is part of that. But the second thing that you just touched on, I think is really relevant here, Jay. I think there is an effort to cloud what is in the public domain so that there's confusion. And there is there's a knowledge that Senator Graham, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is about to issue these 53 subpoenas looking into both the FISA process and the origins of Crossfire Hurricane. And here's what I think maybe some of these folks are afraid of, Jay. I think they're afraid that maybe one or two of the folks on this list are going to come forward and talk. And I would just suggest to you, I think one of those people might be Joseph Pientka, one of the FBI agents that went over with Peter Strzok to interview General Flynn. And then Peter Strzok and Lisa Page conspired to edit his 302 that was drafted after the fact. I think he might be concerned about his reputation. So, Jay, if there are some who are afraid that some of the list of 53 are going to talk, and some of the players in opening these investigations are about to be exposed, if they can just continue the impeachment narrative, it starts to cloud what is in the public domain. I really do think that's part of the agenda here.
Well, I'll tell you this. So here's what's going to happen in the Supreme Court case. So the stay has been granted. The Department of Justice has until, I think it's July 1st, to file a petition for certiorari. That is to hear the entire case. It's exactly what we went through with the case of the three cases we just had. We had two arguments, but they were three cases. And it's basically the same idea. It's the same thing. And that is taking a situation where a lower court has ruled against your position, but the disclosure of the information could cause irreparable harm, imminent harm, and then getting a stay. We got a stay in the cases involving the New York DA and the congressional subpoenas. Stay was granted. That was really good news. Then in this case, and then we had the arguments and briefing. In this case, district court of appeal said, nope, the grand jury material goes to Congress. And fortunately, the Supreme Court issued an emergency stay and expedited review. I still don't think the case will be heard and decided. I don't see any way it's heard and decided before the first of the year, unless they were to expedite the entire argument. They could, not likely, I don't think, but you know, we'll see how that plays out. But that was the process that was put forward. But you know, Andy, it's almost as if the House Democrats on this are so blinded by their zeal to do something to this president, that they're willing to throw out the entire grand jury system in the process.
Well, that's exactly correct, Jay. The propriety of grand jury proceedings, the rule of law and how we have handled grand juries, not just in the United States, but from our common law heritage in England for hundreds of years, is thrown out the window because of the incredible hatred that Pelosi and the leaders of the House of Representatives have for this president. To say, the audacity to say, so that we can use this information for the ongoing impeachment investigation of the president, shows a mental derangement that is beyond expression. I can't fathom how anybody would say, after somebody has been acquitted, after a full and complete investigation, we're going to try them again. And that's exactly what they're saying. That's against the system. We don't have retrials of people who have been acquitted. We don't persecute people. We prosecute them if we can acquit them. If they are acquitted, they go free. And if they're convicted, they pay the penalty. This has got to end, and it's got to end now.
No question about it. Andy's 100% correct. And I will tell you something. We're on top of all these situations here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Remember, it was just on Monday that we were before the court. You're not in court anymore. You're before the court on oral arguments involving the Flynn unmasking situation. We just had Pastor Naren released from India. We're about to go back to court on another case, and we're going to talk about that one briefly coming up. Your support of the ACJ at ACLJ.org makes a huge difference. Facebook, share this with your friends. A lot of people watching.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. will be rejoined by Jay here in just a moment. Andy, I wanted to come to you. This breaking story about the Supreme Court blocking the disclosure of the grand jury information in the impeachment trial, to me, this should not have been surprising news. To me, it would seem like it should be automatic news. Grand jury information is always supposed to be private. But of course, the House Judiciary Committee, with the blessing of Speaker Pelosi, continues to pursue their efforts at impeachment. And in this case, they want to call it an ongoing proceeding. But Andy, you know better than most that the impeachment proceeding ran its due course. The articles of impeachment came up through the House Judiciary Committee after moving through the House Intelligence Committee. After some delay from Speaker Pelosi, they were sent to the House floor for consideration. Ultimately, those articles were invoked and sent over to the United States Senate. And then, Andy, the United States Senate conducted a complete trial and rendered a verdict. They voted to acquit President Trump of these charges. The word that comes to mind for me as a layman is double jeopardy. Now House Judiciary Committee is trying to retry the case. Andy, just plain and simple, that's not how we do things in the United States of America.
No, Than, and you have said it right when you use the term double jeopardy. You're not put in jeopardy twice under our Constitution. In other words, you are jeopardized for your conduct but once. And once that verdict is rendered, and in the case of the president, it was a verdict of not guilty. I sat there. I heard it. A verdict of acquittal. Then you are not put in jeopardy again. You cannot be tried again on a variety of charges that are nothing more than a rehash of what you already were acquitted on. And that's what is the House of Representatives is trying desperately to do with the president. And you're trying to do it through what? An illegal means to extract from the government information that has been gathered by the grand jury through the Mueller investigation, and to try to use that information yet again, having failed once already to convict the president. They're not satisfied with that. They said, we're going to get him again and again and again and again until we get him out of office. That's the ultimate goal here, is to harass this president so much so that they hound him out of office. Well, that's exactly what the Constitution says no. Sorry, go ahead, Than.
Well, I was just going to say, I really do believe one of the reasons they're trying to do that is distract from the people who actually opened this investigation up in the beginning. And Jay, I would say to you, you know, the good thing in the United States of America is the recourse that we have is at the ballot box. Look, there are a lot of districts where that are represented by Democrats that President Trump carried. And if the American people think that these moves by the House have stepped over the line and put an American citizen, specifically in this case, the president of the United States, in double jeopardy, well, control of the House, Speaker of the House, Jay, that's determined by a majority in the House. In a real sense, that's on the ballot this November.
Well, I think it is, Than. But I'll tell you the thing that's just so ironic to me is that the persistence that they have in this is incredible. I mean, it's incredible that they will just not give the guy a chance. He is governing, but they won't give the president of the United States a chance to really govern. And that's really what the problem is. Let me switch for a second. And by the way, if you're on Facebook or Periscope, share this with your friends. We got some breaking news on another matter, then we'll get right back to this. Frank Mannion, a senior counsel for the ACLJ. I mentioned we got Pastor Naren, Cece Hyland, her team worked on that with Than Bennett and his team to return the pastor to the United States from India. He was there for 7 months held. We were in court on Monday dealing with the unmasking issue. And Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the ACLJ, we've got another matter now a big one involving life.
That's right, Jay. This week we have filed with the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights yet another complaint on behalf of a pro-life nurse who was deceived into participating in an abortion procedure that was deliberately scheduled incorrectly as a DNC following a miscarriage. Our client was subjected to participating in this procedure, which turned out to be a late-term abortion, watched the delivery of an infant as a part of this procedure that she estimates to be 12 inches long and 6 months old, and literally put in a metal basin rolling around. And our client to this day, and this happened years and years ago, says she's constantly haunted by the face of this child that looked at her before it died. As if that's not horrific enough, following the procedure, because she had worked at a hospital that didn't do abortions until it merged, and the entity that they merged with apparently did, so the policy changed. No one on the nursing staff was informed of that, and that's how she ended up being sort of deceived, if not tricked, into participating in this procedure. She goes to her supervisor following and says, this is against my religious beliefs. I cannot do this. And she's told, you must. You have no choice. Well, that wasn't the law then, and that's not the law now, but it continues to amaze me over decades now how few medical personnel and healthcare personnel on the front line are made aware of this. Clearly, their employers do not want them to be aware of it, and that's why we've been filing these cases over the years and have just filed this new one this week.
So, Frank, where was this filed? Where are we, and what will be the process going forward?
Yeah, it's the Office of Civil Rights, Conscience, and Religious Freedom Division that was established in 1918 under President Trump to address this very type of thing. For years, we have tried to get the attention of the Department of Health and Human Services to these violations of what's known as the Church Amendment that protects pro-life healthcare personnel, and we've never gotten anywhere. But things have changed now. We have an attentive ear in Washington. In fact, I even checked with attorneys at their office before we filed this because it's an older case, and you know, I wanted to ask them, is it worth bringing this at a relatively late date? And the response I got was, there is no statute of limitations in the Church Amendment. Go ahead and file it, and we'll investigate it.
There you go. Great job. I appreciate that, Frank. Thanks for the update on that. Again, that's Frank Mannion heads up a team of lawyers dedicated to the life issue. They handle other cases as well. But let me tell you something else, and this is important for you to know. We also are dealing with a brand new case involving another act against a researcher at a university on anti-Semitism on the campus. And we are involved in that case also. So then even during this pandemic, when we're away from our offices and in remote locations, as you can tell if you're watching me today, the fact of the matter is, we are able to move forward on our legal work at the ACLJ, whether it's the unmasking situation that we were talking about, whether it's constitutional issues we're talking about today, the life issue, which we're going to court for, the release of Pastor Naren, or bringing you this radio broadcast and television broadcast 5 days a week to your home, to your car, to your phone, however you watch this broadcast. And I'm going to tell you something. It is important for you to stay engaged with us on these issues. When we come back from the break, more on the second coup, or at least an attempted second coup. It may be a verbal coup, but they're up to something. The Supreme Court stepped in, which is very good. But what does it mean for the country moving forward? We're going to take a look at the issue both legally, politically, within the framework of the United States Constitution. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org, aclj.org. We really appreciate that. Also, let me say something else here. Stay engaged with us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulo, at Jordan Sekulo, at ACLJ. Very important that you stay engaged. And by the way, let me tell you, Fan and our team up there, although working remotely, Fan in our studio, but everybody else there working remotely, looking at that legislation on the stimulus bill we were talking about the other day. They're looking at it right now. So we're working for you and keeping you informed. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, there's so much to talk about. The Supreme Court of the United States entering in once again, this time to stop the disclosure of grand jury secrecy material that was part of the Mueller investigation. Congress saying that they need the information ready for this for their continuing impeachment investigation. Now, you're probably saying, Jay, Andy, weren't you just on the floor of the United States Senate for 3 weeks trying an impeachment case where the president of the United States was acquitted? And the answer to that would be, yes, we were. But now they have gone to the Supreme Court. We went to the Supreme Court. Actually, the Department of Justice went to the Supreme Court to do something specific. Stop the disclosure of grand jury secrecy materials. But the justification that the House put forward on this is a continuing impeachment inquiry. Take a listen to Mitch McConnell on the floor of the United States Senate.
House Democrats said they had the right to continue because, now listen to this, the president's impeachment did not actually end with his acquittal. Didn't end with his acquittal. The House Democrats are now claiming the impeachment that ended in February is not really over.
Not really over. Andy, quickly, I'm going to get you on the legal side of this. What they're asking for here, we said this in the first half hour, would really put a fundamental change into the grand jury system.
That's right. The grand jury system originated in England. We borrowed it as part of our common law heritage. And one of the things that is fundamental to the way grand juries operate, as opposed to trial juries, grand juries consist of between 16 and 23 people who are there to hear evidence from the government or the state to determine whether there is probable cause to believe a crime has been committed. And if there are, the person is indicted, that is charged with the offense. But grand juries operate in secrecy under both state and federal law. Why? Why? The reason is that people who appear before a grand jury may ultimately be innocent of any charges and may just have appeared as a witness. We don't want their name be splattered and besmirched when they didn't do anything. And if we don't operate in secrecy, we cannot get information on a candid and open basis. So that's why grand juries operate in this aura of secrecy. This is not anything new. I didn't just make it up. It wasn't just made up in the United States in 1776 or 1789 when the Constitution was ratified. This is something that is old and ancient in history, and it's got a reason for it. And the Democrats refuse to accept the reason why we have grand jury secrecy. They want all this to strangle the president again.
So, Than, what is really happening in the House on this? I mean, what is your sense on the ground? What is actually happening here?
I think there are two things at play in the House, Jay. Number one, I think Chairman Nadler still has some bitterness, shall we say, for this investigation being taken away from him by Speaker Pelosi and given to Chairman Schiff. Maybe this is his second bite at the apple. The other thing, though, Jay, is that this reminds me of that two-week delay, roughly, that we had after the House invoked articles and Speaker Pelosi declined to send the case over. Jay, I think she knew at that moment that there was not a case to be made, and if she sent it to the United States Senate, they would proceed soberly, that there would be an honest review of it, and then ultimately the case would not win. And she was considering whether or not she should continue the investigation on the House side instead. Ultimately, she did send it over. But Jay, this strikes me as her trying to have it both ways as well. She sent it over, the Senate issued its exoneration, and now yet she wants to continue to claim that she has some jurisdiction. Jay, that's over. She sent her impeachment articles over, and they have already been adjudicated.
Yeah, I recall that we tried the case, actually. I mean, it wasn't 3 weeks in a dream. I mean, we actually tried the case for 3 weeks in the United States Senate. And this idea that now they want to come and say, oh, we want to do it all over again, or if we would have only had the Mueller material, we could have maybe done something. My goodness, you had Bob Mueller. You had a two-volume report. You didn't make an article of impeachment on it because there was none there. We come back from your break. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, we've got some breaking news for you. D&I director has now confirmed John Ratcliffe, former congressman, former U.S. attorney in Texas, has now been confirmed as the director of national intelligence. Will, do we have any details on it? Or Than, do we have any details?
Yeah, I'm watching the vote right now on the floor of the Senate, Jay. He's just been confirmed moments ago, vote of 49 to 44. Jay, I think the interesting thing here, though, and you'll know this, Senate Democrats have been insisting on a cloture vote for every single nominee that comes forward, even though at this point that threshold is the same. Guess what they did, Jay? They did not insist on cloture here. You know what that tells me? They're really tired of Rick Gunnell. But I got to tell you, I don't think they're going to like John Ratcliffe either.
Yeah, listen, if I were them, I'd be scared of Rick Gunnell. I mean, listen, what a job he has done. I guess he goes back as the ambassador to Germany, or maybe working for the campaign after this. I'm not sure. But he did a phenomenal job. But congratulations to our friend John Ratcliffe. That's great to hear. Let's go to the phones. We're taking your call, 800-684-3110. Dennis is calling from Oregon on line one. Dennis, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jay, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all you guys do. Really appreciate it. Hey, you know, the reason that we're in this mess is because the Dems were able to take the House the last time, and we've got to quit sitting on our hands and get out and vote, put a stop to it by removing their power. They promised when Trump was elected that they would harass him by taking him to court and opposing anything that he tried to do, and they are keeping good on that promise. And I just want to encourage people, get out and vote. Don't take anything for granted, because it's too important.
We always say elections, Dennis, elections have consequences. And in this particular case with the House control, there's some real, I was on the floor of the House, and Andy was there too. And I will tell you, the tension among their side, even among the managers, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, was very, very palpable. I'm going to ask Will to pull up, if he can, that last portion. It may be too late in the broadcast to do it. But there was this dialogue that went on when they were doing their closing arguments. It was supposed to be Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler goes up instead. And that and he knew what he was doing. That tells you the nature of the tension. So what Thance said earlier, Andy, to me, is part of the problem. They had their moment. They lost. They lost overwhelmingly. The president was acquitted of both charges. And as the president of the United States, and their impeachment failed, he was not guilty. And now they're just trying to continue a form of harassment.
That's all it is, Jay. I remember what you're talking about. Adam Schiff was supposed to give the closing argument, and Nadler preempted him by going up there, and you could hear Schiff saying, "Jerry, Jerry, Jerry," in other words, "sit down and let me take over this. I'm the chairman of the Unintelligence Committee. You're not the one who's supposed to be up here talking as chairman of the Judiciary Committee." So they were fighting among themselves as to who was going to give the knockout blow to the president. Well, guess what? Neither one of them did. Schiff, with his hour and hour and hour long harangues, Nadler, who was hardly knew, I think, where he was most of the time, fumbling and mumbling around. But this was orchestrated by Pelosi. We have to realize that. And what the caller said was right. You want more of this? Vote Democrat. Just keep voting Democrat.
Yeah, here's the thing that we have to say, and I want to say this. The this now they're talking about this continuing ongoing effort at impeachment, which I think is just completely absurd. I mean, I not only is it not justified, which clearly it's not, but the idea that now they're putting this in papers to the Supreme Court of the United States, no less. Here is what happened on the floor of the United States Senate. And you remember this, folks. There were days where we were there to 2 and 3 in the morning, 12, 13-hour days, and it comes down to the end and the summation arguments, and this is what takes place.
Could you please respond to the answer just given by the President's counsel and provide any other comments the Senate would benefit from hearing before we adjourn for the evening?
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the Senate, we've just heard from the House, from the President's counsel, is the usual nonsense.
This is the guy that said executive privilege and other nonsense. Like, he likes the word nonsense, but that kind of gives you a sense of it. Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. And so this is just this is as much internal fighting as they're trying to harm the president. It's also their own internal fighting. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Chris is calling from West Virginia. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jay. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. Good.
Hey, listen, I would just like to say, listen, I've been following you for a long time. God bless you. God bless everyone on your staff.
Thanks.
The work that you do. I know that you are one of the few that are fighting the good fight. I know that. I followed you guys through the hearings. Exceptional job. Outstanding job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I like to start off with just saying that, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist, you know. I believe in the rule of law. I believe our founding fathers knew what they were doing when they wrote that document. I won't say a former Marine, because you're never not a Marine, but I was
right.
I served my country 37 years ago during Desert Storm.
Thank you for your service.
That's okay. I'm a pretty humble guy. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I was raised in a certain culture that where, you know, patriotism was part of my life. Boy Scout, right. All that stuff. But I'm flabbergasted. I'm angry.
Yeah.
I just can't believe what is going on.
Chris, it is politics. I mean, look, so I'm going to go to Than on this, but it's politics. So there's nothing that's happening here that should actually take us by surprise. This has been the playbook. It's just their playbook hasn't worked, and they're not modifying their playbook. Than?
Yeah, and look, honestly, Jay, there's some comfort to be taken in that, because this is the way the system was set up. Can the House overextend their authority and engage in these political movers? Yes, they can. But who is the entity that can then respond to it? It's the American people. The American people at November, in November. And Jay, I would tell you, this is exactly the reason that initially I don't believe Speaker Pelosi wanted to take this vote. It's not because she thought that she would lose her seat. Her seat is not in jeopardy. But she knew that there were 32 of her members that were in districts that Donald Trump won. And this would be a vote that would very likely come back to haunt them in November. And she knows how to count votes, Jay. And by the way, if those 32 members lose their seat, guess who else loses the speakership? Nancy Pelosi. Even if she gets reelected, Jay, she can't be speaker if those members lose. So, yes, it is all about politics. Here's the one thing I will say to Chris. When it comes to righting these wrongs and making sure they never happen again, I think that happens with John Durham and Bill Barr. I really do. I think people will be held to account. And when there is that disincentive to abusing this power because people are held to account, Jay, that's when I think it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I feel very confident about that. Joyce on Facebook asked this question. Wouldn't this attempt constitute double jeopardy? You know, Andy, here's the interesting aspect of this. They made the decision after Mueller testified, after they tried to bring Corey Lewandowski in to testify, and that was a disaster for them. They then pretty much gave up on the impeachment articles referencing a particular article of impeachment on the Mueller report. They referenced the Mueller report, but never brought a charge on it. So the Joyce on Facebook asks a really good question of whether that would constitute some kind of double jeopardy. Not sure.
It does.
I would argue it would because they had their opportunity. But hopefully the statute of limitations runs on this Congress, as you know. That's what I think here.
Yeah, Jay, it does constitute double jeopardy. Double jeopardy means you can't be tried twice for the same offense. And once they've tried and they failed, he was acquitted, the president was. You now want to come back again and say, well, give me another opportunity. I will get some more documents together and see if I can get him this time on some other stuff. You can't do that under the Constitution of the United States. You can't do that under any constitution of any of the several states. And it's just an attempt to harangue and harass the president yet again with an unconstitutional move.
Yeah, I think that's right. I agree with Andy 100%. So the question's going to be, and I'm going to, final question here, Than. And by the way, last segment coming up, we'll take your calls on any topic, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, or get them in. We've already done a Facebook question. We'll probably do a couple more. You can get them in on Facebook and Periscope. Our team is monitoring that as well. So again, if you want to call us, 800-684-3110. Now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There's this talk of the stimulus. I know your team's going through the stimulus, yet they continue to have boiling out there, Than, this attempt, I guess, at a, as you said, a continuing impeachment resolution.
Yeah, it's an ongoing turf war, Jay. It really is. There's two things at play here. There's an obsession with investigating the president, trying to undermine his administration. And, Jay, then there's this internal battle between Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Nadler and Chairman Schiff. And it really was articulated well in that soundbite you played. But, Jay, it's not a thing of the past. I think it's brewing right now. And I think Chairman Nadler views this case, fortunately the Supreme Court got it right, but I think he views this case as the chance to reassert his authority over Chairman Schiff. Yep. I doubt it's going to work, but Jay, I do think it's a factor at play here.
No question about it. All right, phone lines are jamming up again. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get your comment in for the last segment of the broadcast, do it. 800-684-3110. Also, if you can't get it on the phones, do it on Facebook. At you know where you're watching it on Facebook. You know how to do it. Just takes moments. Support the work of the ACLJ, which supports this broadcast both on radio and TV every single day. 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Diane. She's calling from Wisconsin on line one. Diane.
Yes, question. We are the employer of the employees, the government, and they seem to, the they meaning the government, the House particularly, do exactly what they want and send us a bill without any restrictions. And that is how I'm looking. I'm a taxpayer. I'm for you folks. I have six adult children. One was a veteran. I am very conservative, pro-life. So I am in question. Does a petition by us, the bill payers,
yep,
work to stop this?
Yeah, well, let me tell you. I'm going to go right to Than Bennett on this. Let me just give you one example, by the way. We just saw the release of Pastor Naren, a U.S. citizen from Tennessee, pastored a church in Tennessee, did mission work in India, got picked up in India for being a Christian, was held for 7 months. 208,000 people signed a petition in a less than seven-month period of time, obviously, which we presented to Congress. Than, explain to Diane and for our entire listening audience, and you could use other examples as well, how effective these are.
Yeah, the answer is absolutely yes, Diane. The petition is the most effective tool we have for advocacy with elected members of Congress. And the reason for that is, Jay, we can break it down and show that these are the very people that put the elected officials in office. The other example I would give to you that's very relevant now, and I think Diane maybe was alluding to it, is this bill that Speaker Pelosi has just passed that does remove all sorts of funding restrictions for abortion. It's the HEROES Act, $3 trillion, about a third of which the abortion industry would be able to access. Jay, it's going to be our petitions and the advocacy in the United States Senate that is going to keep those loosening of restrictions from becoming law. And I will tell you, even though the Senate is controlled by Republicans, the pro-life to pro-abortion majority there is very, very slim. So they have to hear from the American people who will not tolerate these restrictions. That's what we're going to use the petition for, Jay, the United States Senate, to make sure what Speaker Pelosi sent them doesn't become law.
How are we coming on looking at the 1,890 pages, Than?
We've been through it, Jay. I tell you what, it is probably about a third items that would be negotiable. I think the second round of stimulus, you've heard from the White yep. House, you've even heard from members of the Senate GOP that those are negotiable. The other two-thirds, right. Jay, it's a wish list from Speaker Pelosi. If they would have started without that, then there would be a negotiation happening, but this bill's dead on arrival.
All right, Jennifer's calling from Florida on line two. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great.
Good. Okay, so I have a question about Adam Schiff. And it is,
sure.
You know how he has been caught lying to all of us so many times. And then I've heard a comment that he can't be removed. He can kind of just get away with that. So is there anything that we can do to change that and kind of, you know, have a integrity?
Yeah, well, look, he gets elected by his constituents. There's call in the Constitution, there's a speech and debate clause, Andy, and that gives a form of immunity to statements made on the floor of the House or Senate.
That's right. When you speak on it, when you're a member of Congress, Senator House, and you engage in speech and debate on the floor of the House of Representatives of the United States Senate, you're exempt from any bad actions being taken against you. The only way you're going to get rid of Adam Schiff is for his constituents in his district in California to vote him out of office. I doubt that's going to happen. And he becomes chairman of the committee based on his seniority and on the Democratic caucus in the House and the Speaker of the House appointing him. So guess what? You're probably stuck with him. And let's be realistic about that. He's not going to lose in California, and Pelosi's not going to get rid of him as chairman of that committee. And you're going to have to deal with his lies the way that we've always dealt with them, and that is talk about them and expose him.
Exactly right. Sharon on Facebook writes this: it just seems like the House wants to squander our tax dollars with another impeachment probe instead of helping those who really need it right now. Fan?
Jay, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I would suggest that whether you're Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, you should probably be focused on the needs of the American people. I agree with that comment, Jay. You know, there might have been an obsession with attacking this president, but right now there needs to be a real discussion about the best way to return the economy to the position it was before this pandemic. There needs to be a discussion about how to reopen the country in places where, you know, maybe the pandemic is ebbing faster than others. And Jay, this is a distraction from that larger conversation. And I would tell you, even as it relates directly to a stimulus bill, what the House did in passing this HEROES Act, Jay, it delayed the next round of stimulus. It just did, the same way the last wish list did. And I think rather than being distracted by this partisan squabble, Republicans and Democrats should come together and work with the president to make sure that this pandemic is responded to. This is not in that vein, Jay.
All right, Jeff's calling. Last call on line three. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate all you do. I was just wondering if, regarding the General Flynn, Donald Trump transition time frame, if there was anything President Obama could have issued to any of the people who were involved with it that might absolve them of any criminal liability prior to him leaving office, if any of the events ever came to light in the future.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because the presidents have, under the Constitution, broad, really, unchecked, in a sense, pardon power. They can pardon for federal offenses, and they don't have to have a reason. They could just do it. It's not reviewable by Congress in the sense of Congress being able to override it. The power to pardon or commute sentences vests exclusively, Andy, with the President of the United States. So could a President Obama have done it? Yes. There's been no indication that has been done. I know no information about that whatsoever. But could a president have the authority to do it? Sure, presidents do it all the time. It's an important power that the president has. Andy?
That's true, Jay. It's sort of a carryover from imperial Roman law that the emperor had the right to give clemency to someone. And it's not negotiable. It's not debatable. But guess what? It doesn't apply to ex-presidents. And if anybody is an ex-president, Obama is. Too late.
Yeah, I don't expect any. I don't think there's going to be action on President Obama. I really don't. I think that's a false expectation. Now, look, I'm not doing the investigation. I don't know what John Durham's uncovering, but apparently there's going to be some information, I think, relatively soon from everything we're gathering in the reports that we're seeing. But I do want to say this as we close this broadcast up, because it's important to do this now we're near the end of the month here. Hard to believe that we're entering the last week of the month in just a couple of days. But we've just got 9-10 days left of this month. I got to tell you something. Your support of the ACLJ means a lot. I know this is a tough time. For those of you that are able and can support the ACLJ's work, we really appreciate it. And let me give you a for instance. I know a lot of you, there's millions of you listen to this broadcast every week. And we are producing a daily radio show, as you know, and have been for decades. A daily television show, which is this broadcast for TV. Some of you are watching it right now on Facebook and Periscope and other social media platforms, ACLJ.org as well on the web. And it's not just me and Andy and the other Harry and Jordan and the others you hear on this broadcast, Wes and Skip. It's a lot of people work on this broadcast. There's a crew back there. I don't have a camera. I don't think we have a camera in there. But there's probably a crew of six in the studios right now. And there's more than that work on the production of this. Your support for the American Center for Law and Justice, for the ACLJ, if you like this program, if you feel like you're getting good information from this program, then I want to encourage you to support the ACLJ just for the broadcast alone. ACLJ.org. We really appreciate it as we enter the end of the last really 9-10 days here in the month of May. So ACLJ.org, we really appreciate you doing that. It makes a big difference for us as we do our budgets and prepare. ACLJ.org, talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.